This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jacob Slater of Wonder Horse is joining me in the studio now. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Last night, the pop-up at the Empty Bottle, every single person who was there was like, wow. They could tell they were there for something really special and right at the beginning of what's actually your second coming musically, too. We should let people know a little bit about your background, Jacob.
Yeah.
So if you could just sign here and here. Disclosure forms before we go.
I can do that.
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
I don't know. How did it feel last night, for starters? It was your first time playing in Chicago.
Yeah, first time here. I mean... Yeah, it was a real surprise that it was sold out, and you know that's wonderful that people wanted to come down and sort of hear it. It's been our first sort of run of headline shows in the States, and just getting a feel for the place, really.
Yeah, so that was an audience of XRT listeners who had to, you know, like enter the secret code to come in to see you guys. Tonight is sold out at Shuba's as well.
Yeah,
so everyone who was there, and it was nice of you to hang out. You know, as we were talking, hanging out on the sidewalk in front of the Empty Bottle, like your first night in Chicago, and you got a chance to meet some really good people.
Yeah, and
chat here and there and everything. And I'm like, yeah, the sidewalks of Chicago are amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what did you end up doing?
Last night, well, it's not particularly exciting because the night before we had kind of a late one in Canada. We were in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So then we had to get an early flight. So I was on about 1 hour sleep playing that show. And, you know, we had all these plans to go out and sort of explore Chicago a bit. But I think once my head hit the pillow, it was...
Yeah.
You know, I just had to kind of take it easy. But maybe tonight. That's the thing, touring kind of catches up with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How does that feel? How do you keep yourself sort of in the zone before you go on stage? I can't believe you only had about 1 hour sleep.
Yeah.
Because you guys were, you know, great energy.
Yeah, it's strange. It's kind of extra fuel that you didn't know you had, the sort of backup thing kind of kicks in. Everyone has different things they do before they go on. I tend to just plug in and whatever I'm feeling musically. What was I listening to? I was listening to Iggy Pop before we went on last night.
My musical savior.
Yeah, Iggy's the man. What was I listening to? Down on the Street off the Funhouse record and Lust for Life. And yeah, it was good.
You got the good energy in you. And you got to play a Sex Pistol for a minute. You got to be in that Pistol TV series. Marty, or Morning Man, said it was great. It was fantastic. Have you seen the whole thing? I haven't.
I've seen bits and bobs of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, not for any sort of negative reason. I just freaked myself out seeing myself on screen. I thought, I don't want to overthink it too much in case I ever do it again. But it was a totally different world to music, and it's a crazy thing to be part of, for sure.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy, how did it even come about that you ended up acting in that?
A friend of mine from the music world this was during COVID, so I was living in Cornwall, just kind of surfing, doing not nice. Much. And she said, oh, they're holding auditions for this Danny Boyle thing about mm-hmm. punk music. You should do an audition. And I kind of thought, nah, you know, I'm not an actor. But I thought, you know, what the hell, I'll give it a go and do a tape, and sent it in. And then they asked me to do another one and another one, and it sort of just went through the normal process and got it, which is... It still doesn't feel real now. It's this sort of strange, surreal chapter. But yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's brave. I mean, you step out of your box. Do you remember what you had to do when you were, like, did you have a few lines or anything like that you had to say? Like,
Yeah.
You know, Sid, don't be such a bleepin' bleep or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Probably too many obscenities to say on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. I won't befoul the air.
Okay. You know. Well, let's get to playing some Wonder Horse music from Cub, a debut album we just fell in love with. As soon as we heard it, we started playing everything on the radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. And before we're through here, I'll have a pair of tickets to give away for the sold-out Shuba show. But here's the song that you started out with last night, Leader of the Pack. Anything you want to say about it?
Not really. I guess I wrote it like a while ago. So I think I was 19 when I wrote that one, 19 or something. So yeah, it's a sort of angry teenage song, I guess.
I love the sneer and the swagger of Leader of the Pack. It's Wonder Horse in 93 XRT. Annalisa here with Jacob Slater of Wonder Horse. Thank you again for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
After doing it was a very reasonably timed after work sort of a pop-up show that we did last night at the Empty Bottle, and tonight sold out at Shuba's with some tickets to give away in just a little bit. A lot of the people who were there last night were asking about that. So as far as your we're talking about music as we're playing your music, and the song that I'll play next, Purple, is one of the ones that I overheard one of the women he was talking to, I think it was Abby. She said, yeah, Purple was the first song I heard, and that really drew me in. There's something you said about music that really drew me to you. You were saying, oh, there's plenty of time in life to lie or something like that, but music is a sacred space. Mm. And I think you really tap into it in that song. Who were some of the sacred, I don't know, the... You almost find like a solace in a song. The song Purple, it's almost like you're reaching out to people who feel like they might be invisible and they know that they're seen. Are there artists or songs or bands that made you feel like that when you discovered music?
Yeah, definitely. I think Pete Townsend's songwriting was probably the first thing to hit me like that, because when I was really young, I was my dad kind of brought me up on Quadrophenia.
Nice.
Which is obviously, it's an album about sort of coming of age, being a teenager and confused and stuff, I guess, which a lot of the lyrical stuff didn't make a great deal of sense to me when I was 4 or 5 years old, but I loved the energy of the music. But then I kind of grew up with that record, and then by the time I did get to that age, the song spoke to me in a different way. And I think that definitely stuck with me, that feeling of, I don't know, the music being something that... it's kind of a light in dark places, maybe, without trying to sound too corny, but you know, it's good for loads of things. When we're talking about Iggy Pop, that was another really sort of useful weapon to have in the arsenal when you're a teenager. It gives you a whole new lease of life. You're like, oh, I don't have to do this anymore, I can do this, and I don't care what that person thinks, and, you know.
Yeah.
And it's it was really, really freeing, and I think the really good stuff is timeless in that sense. It doesn't matter when you hear it. If you heard it when it came out, and you hear it, you know, 40 years later.
Absolutely, I agree. Because, you know, we discover stuff years and years after it was recorded. Dylan, we were talking about.
Yeah.
We were talking about 1965 in music. I wasn't there in 1965 listening to music, nor were you certainly at 25. But
I wish I was. But,
You know, but it will speak forever, as well, I think, your music, too, just starting out.
Well, who knows? But, Dylan's a big one for me. He's kind of... whatever situation you're in, I feel like he can provide some sort of escape or help you to understand it in some way. He had a great thing, a great radio show too, actually. He had this thing called Theme Time Radio Hour. He just picked something for the week. And
Dylan?
Yeah.
No
and,
way.
And there's like 200 episodes of it or something. And that's the thing with him as well. There's so much music and so much stuff that he's done to unpack, you know, really interesting bits of work that he's done, which is still perpetually discovering Dylan, which is great.
If people ask that Desert Island disc, because you can always hear more in Dylan or Leonard Cohen, sort of.
Yeah, he's really amazing as well.
Tom Waits. Yeah,
that was
dark.
Yeah, he totally changed my world when my dad played me Burma Shave.
Yeah.
The song off Foreign Affairs when I was about 11 or 12, and I'd never heard anyone tell a story like that through song. It was it was like stepping into some sort of film noir thing, and that totally messed me up in a really good way. You know, in a really, really, really good way. And I'm still a massive fan of Tom to this day. You know, he's just another artist that does whatever he wants to do, and you'll take a leaf out of his book for sure.
Absolutely. So before I play Purple, do you want to say anything about it specifically, about Scarlet?
About Scarlett. Mm. Well, she's doing all right wherever she is. But yeah.
The story in the song.
Yeah,
that's pretty apparent as you listen.
That's it. Yeah, it's a confusing time without putting too fine a point on it.
Purple with the man who wrote it right here, Jacob Slater, in studio. Tonight, Shuba's sold out. Pair of tickets to give away in just a little while. But to chat more about, well, that song for one, talking about sort of singing to the person who feels like they're invisible. Those are the songs that just reach right out at you. Now, as I understand it, for writing, for people who don't know, Dead Pretties, your first band.
Yeah.
If you were to describe in a few words or sentences.
Dead Pretties, what was that? That was...
You were 17 when you started it, were you?
17, yeah. Yes, that was 17 till I was about 19, 20. It was quite a short burst of energy, I guess. Yeah, I think at that time in my life I needed to get out some sort of, or explore some frustrations, you know, and that was a kind of a vehicle for that, and it was useful, but it's one of those things that kind of, you know, things can go wrong when you're younger and stuff, it imploded pretty quickly and got quite messy, but I'm
just
really
like a
glad
good punk
happened.
Rock song would.
Yeah, it was
gets messy and then
yeah, definitely learned a lot from it, and it was with my old buddies Oscar and Ben, and I think Oscar's got some new music now. Oscar Brown, you should go check it out.
Yeah.
He's doing some cool stuff these days. But it was a lot of fun, but very different to what I'm doing now, I guess.
Yeah. So from, I don't know if I have the timeline just right, but after that, you left London, and then you went to sing your heart out to the infinite sea. Did you move towards the sea and surfing and all that?
Yeah. I've surfed since I was about 9 or 10 years old.
Really?
Yeah, because my parents used to go on camping holidays down in Cornwall. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd like take a tent for the summer and stuff.
Nice.
And there was a guy down there called Matty who taught me to surf, and we're still very good friends to this day. You know, we went surfing in Morocco this January, so we're still really tight. And that was a wonderful thing because he kind of taught me that and gave me that. And then just before COVID, I moved down just to be there because I was pretty sick and tired of living in or around London. I just wanted to, you know, be. I think it's always felt like home, even though it wasn't for a long time.
Right.
So yeah, just moved down there.
So with surfing, how would you compare the skills you use with surfing with performing and writing?
Definitely, I'd say I'm a better writer and performer than I am a surfer, but I have a lot of fun doing it. But It's a different thing. I think music, when you're younger, is you do it for fun and for an escape. And I think when it becomes your job, you're always kind of looking for that and hoping it'll feel like that. And it does sometimes, but it doesn't all the time. And I think the main critical difference is that, you know, surfing is not my job. And I have I've said this before in interviews, so I feel bad kind of repeating myself. But it's an area of life where you kind of allow yourself the freedom to fail a bit and just be a decidedly, you know, average surfer and not put too much pressure on yourself.
Right.
And it can take you away mentally from having this, you know, this constant pressure to, I've got to write, I've got to play a better show, I've got to write a better song, I've got to make a better record. And as you go, actually, ultimately and like objectively, all that stuff is not massively important, you know.
Right.
It's important to me, but it doesn't objectively matter. And surfing reminds you of your sort of, especially on a big day when the waves are big and you think you're going to drown or something and you're really scared, it reminds you of your own insignificance, which is
Purple with the man who wrote it right here, Jacob Slater, in studio. Tonight, Shuba's sold out, pair of tickets to give away in just a little while. But to chat more about, well, that song for one, talking about sort of singing to the person who feels like they're invisible. Those are the songs that just reach right out at you. Now, as I understand it, for writing, for people who don't know, Dead Pretties, your first band.
Yeah.
If you were to describe in a few words or sentences.
Dead Pretties, what was that? That was...
You were 17 when you started it, were you?
17, yes, that was 17 till I was about 19, 20. It was quite a short burst of energy, I guess. Yeah, I think at that time in my life I needed to get out some sort of, explore some frustrations, you know. And that was a kind of a vehicle for that, and it was useful, but it's one of those things that kind of... you know, things can go wrong when you're younger and stuff.
Yeah.
And it kind of it imploded pretty quickly and got quite messy, but I'm
just
I'm
like
really
a
glad
good punk
happened.
Rock song would.
Yeah, yeah, it was
gets messy and then
yeah, definitely learned a lot from it. And yeah, it was with my old buddies Oscar and Ben, and I think Oscar's got some new music now. Oscar Brown, you should go check it out.
Yeah,
he's doing some cool stuff these days, but yeah, it was a lot of fun, but very different to what I'm doing now, I guess.
Yeah. So from, I don't know if I have the timeline just right, but after that you left London and then you went to sing your heart out to the infinite sea. Did you move towards the sea where and surfing and all
yeah.
that?
Yeah. I mean, I've surfed since I was about 9 or 10 years old.
Really?
Yeah, because my parents used to go on camping holidays down in Cornwall. Mm-hmm. You know, you like take a tent for the summer and stuff.
Nice.
And there was a guy down there called Matty who taught me to surf, and we're still very good friends this day. You know, we went surfing in Morocco this January, so we're still really tight. And that was a wonderful thing because he kind of taught me that and gave me that. And then just before COVID, I moved down just to be there because I was pretty sick and tired of living in or around London. I just wanted to, you know, be. I think it's always felt like home, even though it wasn't for a long time.
Right.
So yeah, just moved down there.
So with surfing, how would you compare the skills you use with surfing with performing and writing?
Definitely, I'd say I'm a better writer and performer than I am a surfer, but I have a lot of fun doing it. But It's a different thing. I think music when you're younger is you do it for fun and for an escape. And I think when it becomes your job, you're always kind of looking for that and hoping it'll feel like that. And it does sometimes, but it doesn't all the time. And I think the main critical difference is that, you know, surfing is not my job. And I have I've said this before in interviews, so I feel bad kind of repeating myself, but it's an area of life where you kind of allow yourself the freedom to fail a bit. Mm-hmm. And just be a decidedly, you know, average surfer and not put too much pressure on yourself.
Right.
And yeah, and it can take you away mentally from having this, you know, this constant pressure to, I've got to write, I've got to play a better show, I've got to write a better song, I've got to make a better record. And as you go, actually, ultimately and like objectively, all that stuff is not massively important, you know.
Right.
It's important to me, but it doesn't objectively matter. And surfing reminds you of your sort of, especially on a big day when the waves are big and you think you're going to drown or something and you're really scared, it reminds you of your own insignificance, which is great, because then you can come back to music with a sort of more playful approach to it, and then that's usually when the best stuff happens, you know.
That's excellent. Not that I could even stand up straight on one, but I sure like watching it. You have new material that you played last night that I'm sure you'll play tonight at Shubas. You have a new Wonder Horse album coming out, and you also have new solo work, am I right?
Will
they be in tandem, or how can we look for those in releases?
I think the solo record is going to come out in the next sort of few weeks, and I guess you might have to dig a bit for that one, because I'm kind of not going to I'm not going to promote it too much. So it was more just kind of for me, is like a purging of getting all this stuff out that I wanted to get out of it. But it's called Pinky, I Love You, and that'll be. You'll be able to find
it.
You just got to dig a bit.
We'll look for it.
Yeah.
Jacob Slater.
That's it.
And then the Wonder Horse next album.
Yeah, we just finished making a record at Pachyderm in Minnesota. So that'll be out, probably be mixed by the end of the year.
Okay.
And then be out, I guess, early next year.
So, and a dirtier album, I think, is the way you described it.
Yeah. It's definitely got some rougher edges for sure, which is good.
Yeah.
It's good. I don't want it to sound polished.
Jacob, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks
really appreciate
me.
It. And I thought we'd play one more song from the album Butterflies, which is a little scary. And if you want to say one or two words about that, A Dark Time.
Yeah, this
very great song.
There's not a whole lot I can say about it on air.
But it's
a song about some strange things that happened to me when I was a bit younger.
But all good things, and everyone survived. No one was hurt in the making of the song Butterflies.
It's all a learning process, isn't it?
Thank you, Jacob, so much. We'll see you tonight at Shubas. It's WXRT with Wonder Horse.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.